This morning, with the weather the way it is, and knowing it was coming, knowing it was going to affect our crowd, rather than going on through our Own It series, I decided to pause on that for this week, and we're going to cover something else and then pick up on it again next week. I felt like it was very important that we share in this Own It series together, all together. So knowing we would be missing a few people today, we put that on hold, and we'll pick up again next week with owning our position in the body of Christ. So today, I'm going to ask that you turn to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to talk about the peace that only God can bring. While you're turning, turn to your neighbor and say, "Go in peace." We're going to begin reading Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. You guys will know this story very well. It says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him," meaning Jesus, "touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped." Now, to understand this story just a little bit and why she would do this, we have to go back into the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. And in chapter 4, there was a prophecy spoken about the Messiah. And it says, chapter 4, verse 2 of Malachi, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Now, that prophecy was spoken about the Messiah. And wings in the Hebrew word, kanaf, means fringe of a garment or tassels of a garment. So many believed that the Messiah would come and have healing in the tassels of his garment. So it wasn't crazy that she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. This woman was fighting through the crowd to touch that cloak. Now Jesus calls her out. How in the world did he know? There was a huge crowd there. So how would he know that anyone had touched him? Because he had been touched by many. But he wanted to talk to her. He calls her out, and he wanted her to understand he didn't just want her to have healing. He wanted her to be whole. And there's a difference. So we're going to look at that. Verse 45, what did Jesus do? It said, Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me. For I was aware that power had gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling, fell before him, and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And this is what he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He wanted her to understand it was her faith that made her whole. But look at the next three words. The most important part was to go in peace. Say that again. Say, "Go in peace." Many times we look at this story from her faith making her whole, and it did. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't want her to only be healed. He wanted her to go in peace, because peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom means the presence of wholeness and completeness. God wants every part of our whole body, our whole spirit, our whole mind, every part of us to be whole. He doesn't just want to heal one part of us. He wants us to be whole. And that's what it means to walk in peace. Countenance is a huge thing. And countenance can be read based on seeing someone, not just hearing them. What do I mean by that? My son, he's a very high energy boy. If you haven't watched him, if you spend 2 minutes watching him, you'll see he is all over the place. He loves to just be doing something all the time. I love hanging out with him. I love playing with him. I love wrestling with him. But sometimes you can say, "Okay, stop. Okay, we're done." And he continues. And I'll say, "Okay, no more." And he continues. And my countenance will change. And he can see the difference in my face, just as I saw on my father. And many of you would know what I'm talking about. When you were little and your father had a look, and the look alone, you knew, "Okay, I've done something wrong. Okay, I need to stop what I'm doing. And many of us confuse this countenance. It will trump what we hear or what people say. And even though we hear sermon after sermon about God's love, His mercy and His grace, and that He is a God of miracles, all of that is trumped by our faulty picture of God's countenance. Let me give you an example. The woman was healed. But Jesus said, "Who touched me?" In that moment, she was afraid she had done something wrong. So let me give you 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And let's see what it says about our countenance of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine and in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that what is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the countenance of God in the face of Jesus. This woman thought she was in trouble. She's like, "It was me." And she even tells why she was trying to touch him. She thought he was mad. He just wanted her to go in peace. He just wanted her to be whole. That's what it means to go in peace, wholeness, completeness. I want you to look at another story. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Once again, you're going to know this story very well. We talked about it before. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. He asked him to put out a little from the land and sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He's already feeling guilty about who he is. And here we have these people that are crowding around Jesus. He just needs a little space to be able to teach. And I don't think it's by accident that he stepped into Simon's boat. We know him as Peter. And he got in the boat and he said, "Take me out into the water." Well, notice at this point, as Jesus begins to teach, what's Peter going to do? He can't go back to the shore. He's in a boat. He's out in the water. So he has to sit and listen to all that Jesus is saying. If anything, he probably has the most attention to this because he's right below Jesus, listening to every word. So he asked him to take him out in the water. And then after he's finished teaching, he says, "Let's go fishing." Now, Peter's been fishing all night. He's a professional fisherman. They fished at night because that's when the fish were out. And he's saying, "We haven't caught anything, but at your word, we will do this." And so they go out and they catch more fish than probably they ever have. They fill both boats. Now, you can imagine anything that you do in life that you want to be good at. These are fishermen. This is the one thing they want to be good at. Imagine doing the greatest job you've ever done in that moment. What are you going to want to do? You're going to want to go tell everybody about it. If you're a car salesman and you sell the most cars you've ever sold in one day, you're going to go home talking about it. You're going to tell all the other salesmen. You're going to let them know how good that day went for you. But I want you to look at the response after catching all of these fish. Here's what happens in verse 9. "For he and all who were with him," meaning Peter, Simon, "were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to him, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook it all and followed him." In 7 short verses, they went from catching the greatest catch of their life to saying, "We'll leave it all behind. just to follow you. It reminds me of the story we talked about just a few weeks ago of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha burns the plow, kills off the oxen, leaves everything to follow Elijah. And Peter is willing to do that in just 7 short verses. And I believe when we begin to see Jesus for who he truly is, our priorities change. The things that mattered before don't seem to matter anymore. The greatest catch of your life isn't even important to you anymore because you're following Jesus. You have seen the face of Jesus, and that's where peace comes from. The things of this world no longer matter. You find a peace that passes all understanding. Now, the same Peter we're talking about wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He said, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And what's he say here? "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Here's this fisherman. He didn't say, "Throw all your cares on him." He didn't say, "Thrust all your care." This is fisherman lingo. "Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you." So how do we find this peace? It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." That is casting your cares. By prayer, bringing your request with thanksgiving to God, you're casting your cares on him. Now, here's the thing. I would love for that next verse, verse 7, to say, "And he will answer your prayer." Cast all your cares on him, and your answer will come in his time. It doesn't say that. Why? Because just because we're praying for something doesn't mean it's the best thing for us. I'll say that again. Just because you're praying for something doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. Garth Brooks understood this as well as anybody. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I think of Rob Hennington. And I hope you don't mind me picking on you, Rob. Just a few months ago in the Man Up Breakfast, he talked about a job that he had applied for before he got the job that he has now. And had he received that job, he wouldn't have been here. He wouldn't have been a part of this church. He wouldn't have the job he has now. And he wouldn't be in the place that he is now. And he talked about how glad he was that he didn't receive the first job. Maybe he wanted it really bad in the moment. But God knew the place for Rob and his family. And that was right here. So it doesn't say, cast all your cares on him. Make your requests known to God and he will answer them. No, let's look at it. Verse 7. What's it say? "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." That's the peace we're talking about. Jesus wants us to walk in peace, in wholeness. And that comes through throwing all of our cares on God, taking our prayers and our requests to him with thanksgiving, and allowing his peace, God's peace that passes our understanding. We're human beings. We don't understand it all. We don't see the future like he does. But we can walk in peace, no matter the circumstance, no matter the need. You're asking for healing, Jesus gives you peace. You're asking for fish, Jesus gives you peace. You're asking for a new air conditioner so you can have a cool house, Jesus may just give you peace. It's not to say that he won't answer the request. There are plenty of times when he does. How many of you can say amen to that? But even if he doesn't, in that situation, you can have the peace that passes all understanding. We have a request. God gives us a feeling. A peace. John chapter 14, verse 27. Says, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus said he wants to give us his peace. It's different than the peace the world gives. Because when I think of peace, when you think of peace, we think of the absence of problems or conflict. Am I right? We're thinking the less we have of conflict and problems, the more peaceful we will be. Jesus defines peace as something that is present in our life. That no matter what conflict, no matter what problem is in your life, you can still have the peace of God. That's the peace that He gives. Not something that's absent, it's something that is present. My peace I leave with you. It's something tangible that you can have. My peace I give to you. So it's not the absence of problems. It's Jesus' peace. So here's the question we have to ask. And I think we'll look at the disciples to answer this. Do you have the faith of Jesus or just faith in Jesus? Do you have the faith of Jesus or just faith in Jesus? I'll go to Matthew chapter 8 to answer this question. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 26. It says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him without warning. A furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' And he replied this, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm." Jesus is asleep in the midst of this storm. Why? Because he knows the one who controls the storm. The disciples had faith in Jesus. That's why they went to him and woke him up. They didn't have the faith of Jesus to know that everything's going to be okay in the midst of the storm. And I think many times you and I go through a storm and it feels like Jesus is just asleep. Man, does he even care? And we're wondering where he's at. Can we wake him up? At least do what the disciples did. They went and woke him up. If anything else, use the faith that you have. It might be a little faith, but use it to go to Jesus. But the idea is to have the faith of Jesus, to know that as you walk through those problems, God has everything under control. The one that controls the storm that you're in, no matter what it is, you can have the faith of Jesus and walk in the peace that Jesus left for you. He said, "My peace I give to you." It's not as easy as it sounds. I can imagine being in a storm in a boat. I like watching storms. I grew up in Oklahoma, tornadoes every year. We knew it was going to happen. I don't like people getting hurt, but I love watching them. They're just so massive. It's impressive to see how they come together, how they form. It's so fun to watch. But can I tell you, if a storm rolls in and I'm on the water, that's the last place I want to be. I'm not the greatest swimmer in the world, so the last thing I want to do is be out in a boat. I'd probably be freaking out. So I have to tell you a story. My father-in-law and I, he used to have this little two-man bass boat with a trolling motor. And we decided to go out to Fountain Grove, to one of the lakes out there, and we're going to do some fishing. And we're having a great time. We're not catching anything, but we have a good time anyway. And so we're out there just fishing, and we look, and over here, kind of to the northwest of us, this storm is rolling in. And we're watching it. We see it coming for miles. And we keep saying, "You know, we probably ought to head in." But we just keep fishing. And it gets closer and closer, and finally, we've talked ourselves into, we're about to get in the middle of this, we better go. So we crank up our little trolling motor and we start heading back, but the wind is already starting to come. And I'm telling you, I've never been more freaked out in my life. I'm out in the water, we're in this two-man bass boat, and we're just like literally barely moving because we're going into the wind trying to get back to the bank where the truck is at. My wife makes this statement. She said, "Whatever happens, don't let my dad take you down." She said, "Save yourself." That's all she cared about. She was afraid if we got in the water, he was going to grab onto me and take me. She said, "Just let him go. Just don't let yourself be taken." Did you not? kinda. Yeah, you did. I have a text message. No, I don't have it. I don't still have it. But she did say that via text message. Just let him go. Just make sure you save yourself. That's all she cared about. I was freaking out, though. We were trying to get back, and we did. We finally made it back to the shore. All was well. But I can tell you, these are seasoned fishermen. They've been in storms before. Okay, we're not talking about just some random schmo like me that's out in the water. These guys knew what a storm looked like. But they were panicked. They were scared. But they at least used what faith they had to go to Jesus. But can we have the faith of Jesus to know that no matter what the storm, it's going to be okay? Even if the boat goes down, God has it under control. Can you say amen to that? That's walking in the peace that Jesus gives us. My peace I leave with you. Peace in the midst of the storm. Just like the woman who touched his cloak, God wants all of us in our lives to be whole and complete. When we receive salvation, it's not just a free pass from hell. It is salvation to give us complete and wholeness in God. It's a peace that comes upon us that passes all understanding. And I'll close with this. We serve a triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are made in His image. So we have body, soul, and spirit. And God wants all three to be whole and complete. When your body is suffering, He not only wants to heal that, He wants your soul and your spirit to be whole as well. When your soul, when you're going through depression or dealing with something spiritual, when your soul is aching, He wants to heal that, but He also wants your body and your spirit to be whole, to be complete. That's going in the peace that God gives. Psychologists speak of how important it is for a child to learn to be alone in the presence of a parent. And when a child is convinced that the mother is available, attentive, trustworthy, and convinced that he or she won't be abandoned, the child doesn't need to be constantly touching or seeing that parent. They're comfortable in their own little world to maybe venture out into the next room because they feel and know the presence of the parent is there. They know it's okay. They're not going to be abandoned. And in a sense, the parent is present even when they're not. So the child feels comfortable. But as we begin to understand, through prayer, even when we feel alone, we know God is there. Our anxieties, our fears go away based on the presence of the Heavenly Father. And sometimes it may feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat. But you've got to have the faith of Jesus to know everything's going to be okay. God has it under control. And don't let anxiety be a cue to prayer. I'll say this again. Don't let anxiety be a cue to prayer. Let prayer be the cure for anxiety. Let prayer take away the anxiety that you live in every single day, worried about what's going to happen, about the things we don't see in the future, about the things we don't know. Don't let that anxiety be the cue to prayer. Let prayer be the cure to anxiety. So I end with this scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And let His peace, it's a peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Will you bow your heads? Lord, thank You for Your peace. God, it's peace that many of us will never understand. You're so much bigger, You're so much greater than we can even imagine or think. So Lord, it comes down to trust. It comes down to turning our things over to You, to cast our cares to You. Because You do care, You promised us that in Your Word. And God, this peace is available to every single one of us. It's a peace that you give us. It's a gift. So all we have to do is take it. Place our trust in you and know that everything is under control. So this morning, with your heads bowed, if you're facing something that is beyond what you can think or imagine, and you're feeling that anxiety, that uneasiness, I'd love to pray with you. So as people are praying in their seats, my wife and I are going to stand up here, and I invite you just to come down and allow us to agree with you in prayer for whatever it is you may need in this moment. If there is anyone in this room that you need prayer, I want to invite you to come. May you go in peace this week. As you walk outside, you're going to see a bit of an ice storm. You had a little fun getting here. Make sure you get home safe. But as you go throughout this week, know that God's peace is with you. Know that you can have a peace that passes all understanding. And it will guard your heart and your mind. That's where it all hits you. That's where Satan wants you hits you the most, is right here and right here. We serve a God that's greater than Satan. Can you say amen to that? He has a peace that you can walk in every single day. So do that as you go throughout your week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Thanks for being here today.